The problem is never with God. The problem's always with Thurman or Terry or whoever, right? It's never God. Just like little Jenna out there, those pictures of Jenna. I said, we prayed for little Jenna, those pictures of that little girl out there in the hallway, for a year and a half. And she just got worse all the time. I finally said, hey, there's a sin issue here. I don't know what it is, but we got to find it. And so I said, Mother and Dad, I said, you two have got to begin to pray and ask God what your sin is, because we prayed for your daughter from the time she's 6 and a half till she's 8 years old now, and we have had zero results, and maybe, in fact, she's worse than she was when she was 6 and a half. I said, there is a sin problem. We got to find it. We got to get rid of it. And then I said, we will get your daughter healed. Well, whenever they begin to pray, you know, who would ever dream that God would wake up the mother one morning and say, lying and deception. I mean, does God hate lies?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, he really does. He even tells you that in his book, doesn't he? I hate liars. So if God hates liars, I suggest that we stop lying. That is, if you want a prayer answered, you know. And some people will say, well, I can't tell my wife where I went yesterday afternoon, because if I tell her I went down to a certain place, she's going to be upset because I didn't take her with me. You know, I stopped at this fancy restaurant and had dinner last night, you know, on the way home, and I didn't think about coming home, getting her and taking her back down there. When you got home an hour late, she said, honey, where you been? I said, oh, I had to work a little late tonight. Uh-oh. You didn't want to tell her the truth, because you knew if you did, you're going to be in trouble with your wife, right? Well, you just lied, so who you're in trouble with? Oh, with wife and God. So you're in trouble. God hates liars. So then your wife comes to you and says, oh, honey, I got this little pain in my arm here. Would you pray for me? And you pray and pray and pray and pray, and the pain gets worse and worse and worse. And she says, then eventually after about 3 or 4 days, she's going to say, where have you sinned? You always got your prayer answered before. When you prayed for me, God always answered your prayer. You prayed for a week this time, and I've gotten worse and not better. So if she's any kind of a woman of God, she's going to know you got a sin in your life. You need to repent of that sin. And then you say, well, Lord, please reveal to one of us what I've done wrong. And immediately your wife says, oh, you lied to me last week. How did you know that? Well, the Lord just told me. Then somebody said, God would never do that. Oh, yes, he will. He certainly will. He'll tell you. She will know. And then you got to tell her what you did. What did you do? Well, that night I told you I was late for work. I stopped by a restaurant and had dinner, and I didn't want to come home and get you and go all the way back, so I just stopped. They had a special on that night, so I just stopped there and ate by myself without you. Now you're really in trouble. God has just forgiven you, but now you got to get your wife to forgive you. Oh, my goodness. He said, honey, will you please forgive me? Well, she's a good woman. She'll say, of course I will. Now pray for me. And you pray for her, and she gets... her pain goes away. But isn't that amazing? That when we pray, we have to pray in faith, nothing wavering. And we have to be rid of all sin. But Sally and Richard, as they repented, as actually Sally was the one who had to repent, because she was the one who lied to her husband. When she repented to him and he forgave her, and then she repented to God, then we prayed one simple little prayer for Jenna, the little girl. And in a matter of days, about 2 weeks, whatever it was, little Jenna was completely healed. And if you haven't seen those pictures out there, the pictures on the right as you walk out that door is Jenna when she was sick, and the ones on the left is after she got healed. What a difference. I mean, what a difference. You know, I mean, just like they said, if there was ever a case in history that proves that sin and sickness go hand in hand, it's our case. Because we got some really nice letters from them after they've done all this. Let's go back to 2 Peter, where we were there. Let's go on to the next verse, 3 and 4. We'll run. And as we know Jesus better, his divine power gives us everything we need for living a godly life. One more time, what does God give us to live a godly life?
Everything we need.
So what did he leave out?
Nothing.
Isn't that something? He gave you everything. You have to go over these things. You have to meditate on these things. These things have to become a revelation to you that God loves me enough that when I got saved, he gave me everything I need to be able to live a godly life. Now, I was asking, or talking to Brian's lovely wife a while ago, and I said, how are you doing, young lady? And she said, well, I'm younger today than I was last week.
Amen.
Or something like that. I said, why? Well, see, she's learned this great and awesome scripture in Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. Now, let's go back to those scriptures right quick, and let's look and see what she has learned. Now, see, by calling these things forth, they will work for her. Yeah, now, because, you know, here's what most people do. I remember one day I went down to a little town down in Central Texas, down close to Austin, to preach in a little church. That's even before I had a church of my own. But they asked me to come. They had heard of me, and they asked me to come down and preach. They didn't have a pastor. He had left, and they were not going to have one for about 3 weeks, I think. And so they wanted me to fill in for those 2 or 3 weeks. So I went down there, and when I got there, I met this lovely woman. She must have been 80 years old, but she's very, very, nice Christian woman, doing all kinds of things. I could tell she was pretty well up in age, but she was pretty young woman, you know, to be 80 years old, getting around real good. And I said, "Young lady, how are you doing?" Oh, she said, "I love you for calling me young." I said, "Well, you are a young lady." I said, "How are you doing?" She said, "Well, my arthritis is hurting me today. My hands are cramping pretty bad because of my arthritis." I said, "Well, do you want to keep your arthritis or would you like to give it back to the enemy?" "What are you talking about?" I said, "Well, the Lord says in His Word, whatever we say with our mouth, if we believe it with our heart, we have it." I said, "That's part of the power God's given you as His daughter." She said, "Can you tell me where that verse is at?" She said, "I've been in the Baptist church all my life, and I never remember hearing them read that verse." Somebody tell me where it's at. Mark 11:23. All right, let's turn over there and see if that's what it says, and then we'll come back here. Oh, we're going to come back to here in just a minute. Let's go to Mark 11:23 right quick. Then we'll come back to 103. Look at this. Mark 11:23. Just look at this verse. "I assure you that you can say to this mountain, 'May God lift you up and throw you into the sea,' and your command will be obeyed. All that's required that you really believe and do not doubt in your heart." Now, is that awesome or is that awesome? She said, "I never heard that before in my life." I said, "So, you know, far as I'm concerned, your arthritis is your mountain." I said, "Why don't you speak to it and tell it to leave, especially since you know now it's a spirit?" I hated to tell her it was a demon, you know, because Baptists sometimes get excited. But in a spirit, they're not too unfamiliar with a spirit, especially the Holy Spirit. So I told her, I said, "It's an evil spirit, so why don't you just speak to it in the name of Jesus?" And I said, "Why don't you do it?" She said, "You know, I have never done anything like this in my life." I said, "Well, you know, never, you ain't going to get no younger to start." I said, "So why don't you just speak to it?" I said, I'll mix my faith with yours." And so I said, "In the name of Jesus, I command that spirit of arthritis to leave you, to go away." I said, "First of all, are you walking in obedience to God's word? You have no unforgiveness or nothing?" Oh, she said, "Yeah, I know to keep my sins confessed." A lot of Baptists know that. So she had her sins all confessed. So we spoke to the arthritis, commanded it to go away. I said, "Now then, I guarantee you it'll go away because Jesus gave me and you the power and He made us that promise," Mark 11:23. Well, we had about an hour and a half or 2 hour service that day. When the service was over, she come by to shake my hand and she says, "Young man, I want you to know that I don't have any arthritis no more. My pain is not bothering me at all." Well, the next Sunday when I come back, she was there doing whatever she was doing. I come in to get ready. I said, "Oh, young lady, how are you doing?" She said, "Praise God, no arthritis." And she'd had that for years. That beast had been doing it to her for years, and she didn't know that she had the power over it. Amen. Is that awesome or is that awesome? What did Jesus say you could do? "I assure you that you could say to the mountain," the arthritis, "May God lift you up and throw you into the sea, and your command will be obeyed. All that's required is that you really believe and do not doubt in your heart." But you speak to that command to leave, and somebody says, "Well, what do you think?" "I hope it goes away." That ain't going to work, is it? That ain't really believing, is it? Just think, if we only really believed, what could we get from God? Yeah. I thought about Caitlin. She was over here with Madison. Two of our granddaughters was having dinner with us yesterday, wasn't it? Yeah, yesterday. And they were sitting there eating all this stuff, you know, and everything. And Caitlin got just a little bit choked on one little bite of something. She coughed once. And, of course, I just happened to think. I thought, Lord, I can remember when the doctors told me that the flapper valve in her throat was not working and she would never be able to eat anything by mouth. And I told the doctor, I have the Word of God and I guarantee she'll eat. And they told me she will probably never, that thing will probably never work. So I moved down one verse, Mark 11:23 to Mark 11:24. And let's look and see what Mark 11:24 says. Look at this. Listen to me. You can pray for anything, and if you believe, you will have it. Now, is that an awesome promise? I can pray for what?
Anything.
And all I got to do is what?
Believe.
And it'll be mine. So I took that verse and I prayed. Now, what can I have with that verse as a son or daughter of God?
Anything.
So I took that verse, I prayed, and I believed God that her little valve's going to work, and I praised Him, worshiped Him, thanked Him for 2 months, and then I didn't feed her nothing. I didn't give her anything to eat. You can see how much faith I had. So I wanted to do like all the rest of us. I wanted to hear the doctor say, it's working, now you can feed her. So I took her back to the doctor in 2 months, and he checked it, and he said, I'm sorry, sir, it don't work. I thought, what? It can't fail. God's Word. God, He made me a promise. It can't fail. So I come back and repented of all sin and stood on that verse one more time. I said, Lord, now thank You that Caitlin's flapper valve works in the name of Jesus. And I praised Him for 2 months and we took her back to the doctor and I knew it was going to work this time. But it didn't. I thought, and so we go through this 5 times, 10 total months. And I'm feeding her through a hole in her stomach. Not a thing going down her throat. Because the doctor told me, if you give her anything to eat by her mouth, it's going to run into her lungs, it's going to kill her. You only can feed her through that little hole in her stomach. Well, after the 5th time or the 10th month, I come home and I said, Lord, I don't know what I've done wrong. So I read this verse. Now, maybe I'm just a little bit slower than the rest of us, I don't know. But I read this verse for 2 or 3 weeks. Listen to me. You can pray for anything and if you believe, you will have it. Now, you would think I would have got that the first time, wouldn't you?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, Who Are We Going to Believe? Or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teachings on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.